Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesse, for doing that. Isn't it interesting how God works? I actually had that on. I'd actually told Brian that I said at the end of the service. I was kind of waiting because I figured it depends who does sharing time this morning. If it was going to be Curtis, well, I figured, you know, I'd mention something to Curtis, and I figured it'd be a little awkward for Dale up here to say, well, let's have some prayer time for myself. So I had actually left a little bit of time at the end of my notes, having time for us to gather around him. And I had told Brian, I said, at the end, we'll gather around and we'll pray for Dale, and then we'll sing the final song while we're standing around here in a circle. So, but it's interesting to see how God works and put on Jesse's heart, and thank you. It was to gather around, one of the ways that we can encourage each other. On Monday evening, we gathered at the thrift store and we talked a little bit to the employees and stuff about the focus, and that was one of the things that was mentioned there in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says to encourage one another and build each other up, just as we are doing. And this is one way, just to look out for each other, to encourage, to lift each other up in prayer. One of the things that we are called to as a church. Interesting, I had mentioned that I had something I had thought about talking about last Sunday, and my message got changed. And so we're back to that again this Sunday, and I am actually going to preach on that. It's interesting, again, how God triggers things. And, I mean, you've heard us say before, you know, you preach today, and by probably tomorrow, you'll be thinking about the next time, and what am I going to preach about the next time? And your mind's, most of the times, not constantly, but a lot of the times, your mind is running, what does God want me to speak about? And he uses things in life that you encounter, maybe something that somebody else says that triggers it, and that kind of sparks it, and messages kind of form from there. This message, somebody asked me the question, have you ever preached Matthew 20, the first number of verses? And I was like, I don't think I have. And I went back and I read the parable, and it's one of the parables that Jesus gave. And as I read that parable, it really is it's a good parable. And we're going to read that this morning. And we're going to start out with that one. There's two parables that I want to look at, and they actually run very lot hand in hand. And we're going to talk about about Jesus being our good master and living to him faithfully. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, Matthew 20, we're going to start at verse 1. And this is the parables of the workers that go into the vineyard. Matthew 20, verse 1 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay whatever is right.' And so they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long and doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came that were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and worked the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for 1 denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." When I first read that parable, who all says, that feels a little unfair? Now, Okay. Thank you, Walter. I was going to say, now, for all those of you employers, those that didn't raise their hands, you know who to hire, right? But when you look at it as... pools of unemployed men gathered each morning hoping for the day, for employment for the day, to provide some for meal for their family. As you look at each one standing there waiting for work, it also reminds us of what Jesus said in John 4. Reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Do you not say? Those and another reaps. And this leads us right into the next part, that he is looking for laborers to go in. Do. The harvest is white. In Luke 10, 1 and 2, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are Are you and I, like Isaiah this morning, here am I, send me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eleventh hour. Their typical workday was a 12-hour workday, somewhere from about 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it was divided into four. Would receive for a daily wage. You notice on the first one, received a just reward. Disciples were all here, and they were asking to be seated on the right and left hand. And Jesus told them it was not his to give. But Jesus goes on to tell them, every one of us have received more than what we deserve. In 1 Timothy 6:6-7, says godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake me. There was a quote that said, contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of how much you already have. Am I satisfied with what God has given me? Am I faithful with what God has given me? Or am I grumbling, wishing for something else, wishing for what has been given to someone else? What type of a worker will you and I be in God's vineyard? Paul talks about, he refers to himself in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm not going to turn there this morning, but he refers to him as one of these workers that would have come in like somewhere around the 11th hour. He calls himself untimely born or born late, but it did not change how he worked in God's vineyard. He said God's grace has prompted him to work harder. No credit to him, but that God's kingdom would be advanced. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul talks of the things that he faced. And it's actually 23 through a number of verses. And again, I'm not going to turn there. You can go there. You can jot it down and write it. But Paul talks of being beaten, stoned, lost to sea, hungry, and the list goes on. There was a lot of things that Paul faced. It was right after that that he goes on, and a lot of us know the account, that he had a thorn in the flesh that he asked God to remove, something that was bothering him. And God chose not to remove that thorn, but God told him this: my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You know, I heard on the radio this week, it was on the message, I think it was, they were playing songs, and they were talking, and one of them was talking on there about, you know, you pray for someone, and someone gets healed here, and yet someone has the same thing here and doesn't. He said, we'll never understand all that. And yet, he's like, I believe, regardless of, similar to what Paul was facing here, regardless whether that thorn is taken away, he's like, God has a purpose, and God will fulfill that purpose, and his strength is sufficient. Paul goes on to say this then. He says, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There's another quote, reverent fear of God is the key to faithfulness in any situation. Understanding who God is and his abilities. How much are you willing to endure? How zealous are you and I for Christ that his kingdom would advance? In 1555, John Audley in England, and this was over the time that people were being burned at the stake. He was told by his enemies how terrible and how painful it was to be tied and burned at the stake, in hopes that he would recant. Anley replied this, if I had lives as I have hairs on my head, I would give every one to burn at the stake before I would lose Christ. Another quote, Christians do not have to live. They only have to be faithful to Jesus Christ, not only until death, but unto death if necessary. Being faithful in whatever God has given us to do. And that brings me to the second parable that I want to read this morning. That's in Matthew 25, just a couple chapters back. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Again, this is talking about a master and his money. And it says, again, it will be like unto a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold won at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into a darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In this scripture here, it does not use the word talent. If you go to the King James Version, it would use the word talent. And for those of you that like figures and weights, the talent would have been about 6,000 denarius. And a denarius was what they would have considered about a full work day. So one talent given here would have been worth about 20 years worth for a normal laboring man. If a person had a talent, you would be considered rich in this time. We see in this parable, it didn't really make a difference whether it was 10, whether it was 2. It was being faithful with what was given. To use God's given responsibilities wisely and productively, this will reward opportunities, additional opportunities to serve God faithfully and fruitfully. God gives the increase. We simply must use the gifts He has given. Last week, I had the privilege, and it's fun to teach the new believers class right now. They will talk, and it's interesting. And last week, we had on assurance was the topic we were talking about. And I asked the question, I said, who all struggles with assurance? And then the next question I asked was, why? And it was interesting, the answer to the second question. And it was very good. They said, you'd look at people like Paul. Paul was one of the people that it talked about in our lesson. And they said, you look at the people like Paul. John Ardy was another one that was brought in the lesson. People like this that have suffered so much and have gone through such hard times. How am I worthy? Because I haven't had to go through any of that. Being faithful with what God has given us. None of us are worthy for any of the goodness that God gives. And yet each one of us has been given something. It doesn't matter what size. It doesn't matter what gift He has given. What am I doing with it? In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus was a perfect example of this in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. Again, it doesn't matter what size gift we have, what God has given us, what we can do with it. I have an aunt. She's now passed on. She was mentally handicapped. She couldn't read. And yet there was one thing that she did faithfully. And she would pick up the scripture, and she would page through the Bible page by page, and she would pick out the one word that she knew. She knew the word God. She knew that word, what it looked like and what it meant. And that was the way she read her Bible. She would go through and she would pick out God's name over and over, using what she had, being faithful with what she could do. Will you and I be faithful with what God has given to us? There's another quote. How can there be great faith when there is little faithfulness? Jesus is a good master. The fields are white, ready for harvest. Will you and I go into his vineyard and be used? He's gracious. He's good. He's also the master that is returning, that has given us each something to do, has given us each talent to use. What will you and I do with that? It might be the 11th hour for someone we don't know, but there's time. He is generous. He will look out and he will supply for your and my needs. He has given everything for you and I. Will I give him everything back? What will you and I have to offer when he returns? In ending, I want to end with Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. May you and I be faithful as we live this life here. May we use what he has given us to grow. Use it in his vineyard, that God's name, like Paul said, can be advanced and can be glorified. Brian, do you have a song?
In the folder 163.
All right, in the folder 163, and you can stand. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, this morning for being so good, for being so generous. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for giving everything for us. Help us to walk faithfully. Help us to use what you have given to advance your kingdom. God, as we go through this week, help us, the people we come in contact with, the people that we see. We can encourage them. We can point them to you. Help us to use those talents that you have given. So God, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to be together and to worship you today. And God, I just pray that you would bless each one as they go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Second.